Hello, my name is Vidal, and today is Thursday, December 7th, and this is The Journey, a conversation that we have via podcast on the topics of culture, leadership, and creativity. And today I just want to pause for a moment and remind ourselves of a topic that we engage, we talk, and we brought this past Sunday as the launching of the new Christmas series called Kingdom, and the arrival, obviously, of the King of Kings, Jesus of Nazareth. And the topic that I wanted to briefly discuss with you tonight is simply the concept of encouragement. We began the series by looking at the book of Philippians, which is a beautiful letter written by Paul as he is incarcerated. He is in prison. And this is very counterculture because he brings the concept of joy and peace and even hope. And what seems to be a context of hopelessness seems to be a context where things are moving in the opposite direction. And the exhortation of Paul to these people is also a warning that they must, the church must, understand these principles and retake, embrace in full commitment to the character, to the person of Jesus Christ, because persecution is coming their way. So what do you do when you get warnings like this and things are not looking favorable and things are getting a little, I don't know, maybe discouragement, maybe just plain simple, just opposition to whatever it is that you're thinking, you wanted to do, you are trying to accomplish, and things are not moving in that direction that will take you to the next level, to the next step. Well, Paul reminded us on chapter 2 of the book of Philippians, looking at the concept of encouragement, he says, therefore, this is Philippians 2, verse 1, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then he goes and explains what that produces. And we read on verse 2, he says, make my joy complete, and this is how you make it, by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and one of, obviously, on your mind, on your thinking. You got to be one as well. So just a couple of thoughts just on encouragement. What does that mean? Because most of us, we obviously know what encouragement is. We obviously know. And everyone knows what discouragement is also. And we see that constantly. We have our youngest is a basketball player, Josue. And we can see in basketball games how the momentum shifts and switches from one team to another. And you can see encouragement and you can see discouragement through body language, through obviously the scoreboard, the way coaches, reflect their leadership. And I mean, it's just obvious in how these two concepts come into the lives of people, encouragement and discouragement. Well, Paul is obviously implying, as he writes from prison, that encouragement is not the absence of discouragement. He sets the tone from the get-go on chapter 2, and he says, encouragement comes in spite of whatever is happening or may happen in the future. Encouragement is simply the ability to be united with Christ. Plain and simple. Encouragement is the ability to be united with Christ. And the fact that you are united with Christ, Paul reminds us, is something that cannot be controlled nor stop, nurture. Cannot be detoured from circumstances. How do I know this? Again, this is a prison letter. He's writing from the condition that apparently the government or culture or religious leaders, they thought that they can discourage Paul, that they can stop the movement of Jesus Christ, the gospel message, by incarcerating Paul. And we are more than thankful that 2,000 years later, even after he's long gone, the gospel is present. The unity with Christ is available to whosoever believes, to whosoever puts their trust in Jesus Christ. You are able, not necessarily to change your circumstances, but what you are promised is unity with Christ, which at the end has to, must become the source of encouragement. So what I want us to just remind ourselves as you read verse 1 of chapter 2 of Philippians is that encouragement is found in the unity with Christ. Now, beautiful writings from Paul, and he reminds us what that unity looks like, what unity with Christ looks like. And he talks about the comfort that is brought through or found in his love, in the love of Jesus, in this love affair between the Son and the Father, in this love relationship between this passionate commitment between the Heavenly Father and the Son. It's just something that permeates into the lives of those that follow and trust Jesus Christ. So encouragement is finding the unity and is experienced in love, in the love of Jesus Christ. Now, he closes that first verse by bringing one of the deepest concepts and one of the most exciting things that we can ever talk about, which is the commonality of sharing with the Spirit of God. In other words, now we're moving beyond simply the circumstances. We're simply moving beyond the ability to pray to God as we should pray to God. So I'm not implying that we shouldn't pray to God, but this is beyond simply praying to the Lord that He will help us carry on discouragement, depression, illness, brokenness, whatever other difficulties we might be finding, or persecution for that matter. Now we're talking about having common things and sharing that commonality with the very same God, with the Spirit of the God of the Scriptures. So what does that mean? Well, again, we have to come back or begin with the unity of with Jesus. This encouragement was found from the get-go by being united with Christ. So having something in common with Jesus implies that we belong to Jesus. Exactly. So that implies that we are saved, that our hearts, they have been transformed, and we use the word regenerated, that we have been made new, made whole in Jesus Christ. We use the language of being sealed by the Spirit of God, so we begin this beautiful journey of now belonging to Jesus. Now the challenge, especially when he writes to a people group, when he writes to a generation of Christians who are either given up or they're trying to continue and being encouraged, but they're confused or they are oppressed or they are going through, again, persecution, he reminds us that being sealed by the presence of God or belonging to God is not enough. The belonging to God, just like in marriage, we belong to each other. That implies that that belonging began at the wedding, began at that ceremony where we legally and officially and spiritually and morally and emotionally, we made a covenant that we will belong to each other. But the goal is not just to come to that experience, but the goal in marriage, as we have said before, is to grow in oneness. And we typically portray that when we say, until death do us apart. Well, the same principle applies here. So belonging to Jesus is never the goal. That's just the beginning, because encouragement and discouragement will not consider or respect. Circumstances will not literally respect whether you belong to Jesus or not. In other words, we live in a world that, you know, safe people and not yet safe people still are affected. What do we do when we find ourselves in difficulties, in times where hope and joy and peace are gradually, radically disappearing from our environments? Well, now we got to move from belonging to Jesus to behaving like Jesus. This commonality in verse 1 that he describes of sharing in the Spirit is our ability in Jesus Christ not only to persevere, but to be preserved by him. So is the both in? Is our engagement that we are invited into this common ground to persevere, to hold on, to push forward, to never quit, and yet is found in the mercy and the grace of God by him carrying each and every one of us through whatever season, whatever discouragement we may be facing. So as you go through the remaining of this week, and as you obviously go into the weekend, which for some of us is as busy as the week, I just want to invite you that if you are at that moment, at that place in your life where maybe perseverance is questionable, whether you might be feeling or sensing that you are not going to be able to carry on whatever commitment, whatever relationship, whatever engagement that you are in, my prayer, my desire is that you will move or remove your attention from simply avoiding discouragement, but that you will find encouragement not simply on the transformation of circumstances, which I pray and I hope those things change for you, but I'm gonna remind you that encouragement for us is a person, is the unity to a person, is the character of an individual that he has loved us, that he comforts us through his love. Everlasting hesed is the word in the Old Testament of this unchangeable, this uncompromising love of Jesus for his children, for his people. And obviously that we will continue to grow in the commonality with the Spirit of God. I do pray that you have, again, the remaining of this week, which is basically one more day, which is an amazing Friday for you as you wake up in the morning and you enjoy the beauty of the day. But at the same time, I pray that this weekend is a time where you find a way to just pause, to reflect that in the midst of discouragement, the antidote is not the changes of circumstances, is the person, the character, the essence of Jesus of Nazareth, which is the arrival of the King. May the Lord bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening.